much, Scott. Scott's fleshing out that song. He's leading our Sunday school class to the book of Revelation, about third Sunday in that, and as God led him to lead us, man, it's been awesome, and I've just begun to get into that, and thank you, Scott, for that. And I looked out this morning, so glad to see Miss Audrey here. Miss Audrey, it's been a lot of Sunday mornings since Miss Audrey's been here, and she, I know, got real frustrated at one point. I was at her house, and you just wonder when going to get better, but she got to come to revival about three nights, and she's here, so pray God continue to touch you, Miss Audrey, and use the medication changes and touch you and bless you. Thank you, choir. I tell you, choir, y'all had something special today that God wanted us to hear that we wouldn't have heard if the music hadn't stopped. I mean, Byron agreed in the back, and he could either tell me what happened or not happened. It wouldn't make any difference back there, but that was awesome. I mean, that was just something special that God brought out, and maybe just a reminder of what God can do, amen, when our best laid plans and things will come apart. Thank God, praise God so much for revival, amen. So many of you are here to be able to hear each night or almost every night, and some of you might have been working out of town, and I hope you feel the overflowing effects, and probably already have, but God has really blessed us, and you're truly a blessing to Bill and Kathy, and they've continued. I've talked to them several times, really unfortunately. I've talked to them several times, unfortunately, since they left. I have to say this. We knew that Brother Bill, he knew that he needed his knee replaced. But he went to the doctor on Friday. I talked to him Friday night. He had to go to the hospital, and they drew a tremendous amount of fluid and infection off his knee, and he got some pretty devastating news. They wanted to do it Friday, but really the doctor had a conflict. They'll do it this week probably sometime. They're going to have to take Bill's knee out. With the knee replacement, and there's so much infection, they got to take his knee completely out, leave it out, pack it, with things to fight the infection, and he'll have to be without his knee for 2 months. Then after that 2 month period, they're hoping the infection will be cleared up and they go in and do the other knee replacement. So, and he was very, I mean, you know, he's very discouraged. Bill's very positive. Bill's very upbeat. He was very kind of shocked and discouraged, just that whole idea of that. And so once you begin to pray about that and pray for them. And then I got a call late last night, and Brother Bill and Kathy had loaded up the camper, and they were headed to begin another revival, just like they did here last Sunday in another church in Georgia. And they had a terrible accident on the interstate. They actually flipped his pickup and camper. Just a miracle of God that they had no major injuries. Bill bumped his head. Obviously, they're sore, they're bruised. His wife has chronic back trouble. Can't imagine how that might affect that and all that Bill. So Bill has really, and Kathy have really been through a lot since they left here. He says now probably 6 months is how long that they'll be out of being able to go and to minister. And that's his most, that's his heart, most important thing. But also, you know, remember, Bill is totally dependent on those love offerings, and so those won't be coming. He's repeatedly, in the midst of calling and updating me, and as we pray together, he has just repeatedly wanted me, once before the bad news started, and then on Friday night, and as I talked to him since the wreck, to thank y'all so much. And I want to thank you so much for the way you gave in generosity. By Tuesday night, you had given around $1,800 to them. And then on Wednesday night, just a miracle offering was $1,500. So basically $3,300 is what God moved upon y'all to give. And Bill said that you'll just never know, and this is before we just thought he was going to have surgery, but how much that'll mean to him and Kathy and help them as they have these weeks. They can't go. He is real burdened about the churches they're supposed to be in. He does have another evangelist that can often fill in for him. So let's just pray about all that. But he continually wants to send his thanks for what a huge blessing, not only spiritually, but how you blessed him with the love offering to help him out. And I want us just to pause this morning and just pray for him and Kathy. Let's do that together. Lord, we are so thankful for your presence we feel this morning, just that we can praise you, and just so thankful for the health and ability to be here. Even thankful, Lord, for an unwrecked vehicle to drive to church this morning. We thank you for revival, Lord. You really just touched us in so many different ways, individually as a church, and Lord, souls were saved, and people have drawn back closer to you, and just it's been amazing the testimonies we've seen and heard already. And Lord, we just are so thankful for Bill and Kathy, and now specifically, Lord, just for Bill and his knee. Lord, give him a peace. And Lord, I pray that you'll just begin even now to remove that infection. Lord, I pray if there be a way that, Lord, it could move faster. But during that 2-month period, Lord, that you'll use it and you'll just protect his knee. You'll remove the infection. You'll prepare it for a knee replacement, Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the provision and protection you gave to Kathy and Bill last night. I pray for their bumps and the bruises and all that's going on. And Lord, to just be with them through as you'll know, through insurance, Lord, replace their vehicle and their camper, we pray. But Lord, be through the going through that process. We thank you for all those that stopped and assisted, Lord. Thank you, Miss Aldridge, back in church with us, Lord. We missed her and so thankful she's here. Continue to strengthen her body and touch her. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with Brother Dennis and Byron, Lord, as they go through their cancer treatments. Lord, that you'll use them, be though you'll heal their body, you'll strengthen them, you'll just sustain them. Lord, I just pray for every need that's represented in your house today. Maybe a heart's broken. Maybe, Lord, just a physical pain. Lord, a financial need, just problems, Lord, or just as we praise you, Lord. We lay it all down before your altar now and ask, Lord, that you meet with us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Bill said it was amazing. He said there was a young EMT that was a Christian that was following them and immediately stopped to help. The highway patrolman that came was a Christian, said that people, God has having Christians stop to give them water and pray with them. So he said, you know, we talk about the hedge protection spiritually God's got around us. And he said, God really fleshed it out and really sent people around to help and protect him in that. But I know since you're so excited about revival, I know that you're excited about getting to work. And Deborah, I couldn't give you an advance notice, but I need your help for a second. I need you to come get this list right here in this pen and get your book to write on. And then you get where you can see the folks. And I need y'all to help. And I know every one of you is intended on doing this, so you just hadn't got signed up. So I'm going to help and make it easier for you. Don't y'all appreciate me as a pastor? I want to make things easier for y'all. But we're doing something brand new, and it's difficult. And we've had talked about it. We've had a sign up. And what I was taught years ago by a pastor, you know, you can put in the bulletin, and you can talk about it, and you do all kind of things. But oftentimes you just got to get somebody by the arm and say, I need your help. So I can't physically get to your arm. That's what I'm doing this morning. It's with the Bible Buddies. And what we're simply asking you to do is something brand new. So I know it's different. You may say, well, I don't understand it. Why? What are we doing? Hey, we'll help you all that later. Basically, in a nutshell, you're going to help to buy a Bible for one of our children, okay, which you love and adore every morning. There's a bunch more of them. And you want to buy that Bible, and you're going to be their Bible Buddy. They're going to know that you've given that Bible. We have you part of presenting that. And then you're going to encourage them throughout the year. Maybe send them a note. Maybe buy them a little gift. But you're going to encourage them in reading their Bible as in their classroom, their training. They're going to be focusing on learning. You know, we always focus on the Bible, but even more intensive this time. So we basically need how many's on there now? Okay, we have about 5. We need about 20, okay? And if we have more, we'll do. So what I need you to do is I need you to hold your hand up and hold it up long enough for Deborah to get your name down. So go ahead, don't be bashful. I need 15 people, okay? Nah, we ain't going to do that. You sure? Oh, you're going to help him get up, Hilton. I need 15 names now. You're going to buy a Bible and be a buddy, okay? I need 15 hands. Keep them up. Keep them up. 15 hands. I ain't got 15 hands yet. Come on, y'all have to help. Who's going to help? Need 15 hands. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, you've done been counted then. I'm sorry. You want to do 2? I'm just kidding. No. Okay, I give you credit. Never give credit who signed up. Since we're doing this publicly. Who's already signed up? Okay. Who else?
Jim and Linda.
Yeah. Jim and Linda. So how many we got? 5? 6?
9.
9. And 6 is what?
15.
Then 5 more.
Yeah, you can do it.
I can do one. I thought you put my name down. 16. Who's 17? Help me. 17 over here. Katie? You don't have to do it. That's right. You don't have to together. I say, yeah, yeah. Somebody else want to do one? Want to be a Bible buddy? Anybody else? Tony, do one. How many we got now? Because I don't know what happened and all that splitting and doing. And seven. You got seven? It's 19.
I had Sandra. Did I need to put Jeff?
Yeah, put me down.
Okay, that's 13.
Whew! We're done. We're done. Wow. Thank y'all. That wasn't complicated at all, was it? Katie, you've got 20 Bible buddies now. And, huh? Why don't we help them with that, okay? We'll help them with that. We're going to help you with it. We're going to tell you what, not get your names, we're going to help you what to do. How about that? All right? All right, let's do that. Okay. All right, what do we do now? How about a sermon? Anybody interested in a sermon? All right, be good. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a wonderful idea. I mean, you want me to help you. Forget to sign up, and I just want to help you. I really do. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, and verse 1. If you would stand to honor the reading of God's word. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And don't that sound like the world today? And withal, how he has slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, I'm going to kill you just like them. That's what she said. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, now listen to this, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He had a little bit too much of a high opinion of himself. Amen? And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind ripped the mountains, breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Dear God, I thank you for that still, small voice that we can even hear now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That still, small voice. One of the things that overwhelmed me, and I told Bill as he came, I knew I needed revival, I knew our church needed revival, and I haven't got to talk to many of you about specific things. I'll try to share a few. But one of the things that God just really reignited in my heart is my passion and desire is that I want to hear that still small voice. I want you to hear that still small voice. It is how God works. It is still possible to hear his voice. We're going to look in this passage to understand better out of here, but there's no greater thing. That's my desire for each of you. I look in the back and I think about Corey's new baby back there. I think about Brooks expecting a little daughter, her and Davy. I think about Tony, all the gathering of children around you at the end of church out there. I think of our young adults either in school or working. And I'm telling you, during this week, I've just been re-reminded that we can hear his voice. And that's what I want to hear. This little man with the orange cup, I shook his hand, and man, he's shining bright. That he would be able, through his parents, through this church, that we'll be hearing God's still small voice, and it will impact everything we do. It's all that's important, amen? And there's so many voices out there. And I don't want you to hear my voice clearer. I don't want you to be able to understand yourself better. But I want us as a church just to really be able to continually hear that still small voice, celebrate it with one another, share one another, be a constant thing. He's constantly speaking, and we need to be constantly hearing. That's a problem. He's constantly speaking, but we're not constantly hearing. Amen? Or understanding what he's saying. And as Brother Scott was singing, I'm thinking there, okay, you know, I love that song, but Lord, where are you wanting to lead me? You know, that was a question, Scott. I thought, Lord, where are you wanting? And I was reminded, even as I continued to sing, how that still small voice from God, if you would. I'm like, Brother Bill, never heard God audibly, but he really speaks to my heart, grabs a hold of my heart. But to understand that there's so many things that he's leading us in through his word, and through prayer and through serving him, that you'd be amazed. And often, those big decisions about family and life and work and things you're going to do and all those, God, just leave me. You'll be amazed at how that kind of goes in the background when you begin to hear and understand just the basic things he calls you to do in his word. And he's wanting you to follow him in this. You follow him in those basic things and God will take care of all the big things. Amen? He always does. I'll never forget, and I was just reminded, it was just comforting about that still small voice. It was on Tuesday night, so many of you have made decisions and moved and it made it public. And I was here, and there's a very common thing that always happens in revival time, or anytime another pastor comes, it's just a standard thing. I do it when I go to somebody else's church, but Brother Bill comes down, and us pastors will look back at the home pastor and we'll make this statement. We'll say, the service is yours. And Brother Bill did that on that Tuesday night, but God had moved, so he stood, and that's just very common. I know what it means, but immediately when he said, the service is yours, I sensed that still small voice of God, and I even said, it's not mine. No, this ain't my service. It's his service, amen? And so today's his service, but hey, listen, I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. No, not my thoughts. I want my life, I want my family, I want everything I'm about to be his. It's not mine. We take too much and we treat it like it's ours, but it's not. So I was so reminded of that still small voice. So since Wednesday night revival ended, I kept thinking about that still small voice. You know, you hear me say often, I say it from the pulpit, I say it to you personally, I really believe. I encourage you to grab a hold of this, and if the Spirit of God speaks it to you, you believe it and want it. It's the statement that I make saying that every one of us have one of the same greatest needs, and that's a closer walk with him. Amen? Would you agree? A closer walk. And I can be talking to somebody that's lost to make that statement. It's true. I need a closer walk. They need to begin a walk. But everywhere you go, that statement's true. So as I began to study, I began to realize and understand, I wanted to add to that statement, if one of our greatest needs is a closer walk with Jesus, then we need to hear his voice each step of the way. Amen? If that's really what we need, and I think we do, I know I do, then we need to hear that still small voice, just like Elijah heard, every step, not just important steps, Ms. Parker, every step. As we get up in the morning, every step, every thought, every decision, we need to have his voice. Amen? And it is possible. The first thing I want to show you this morning, it applies so much to what we're coming out of. And I'll give you some examples. But what we have here with Elijah is a picture of, in verse 18, you end up with this great time with God. And what we find here in verse 19 is after a great time of God, we need to stay focused on God's voice, okay? So now think about that. We've come out of a great time of revival, so it's extremely important that we stay focused on his voice after that great time of revival. We see Elijah gets in a whole lot of trouble after a great time, amen? We'll look at that in a moment. So that'd be our desires as a church this morning. We had a great time with God in revival, and now we want to make sure that we stay focused on his voice. Amen? You may be celebrating one of the greatest years or months or weeks, and you may really say, man, God has really blessed me. Man, some things have really come together, and it's really a great time. Then I'll tell you, based on Elijah's experience, you need to make sure that you keep focused on God's voice, who you're thanking and been hearing, to take you in the days to come. Because, man, the wheels fell off in a hurry. Elijah got in the ditch in a hurry. And Sandy, I can say, amen, I can do the same thing, right? Man, I can have one day and things are great and high-fiving, and I don't think Hilton will mind me mixing this. Man, getting started a new semester of college, a lot of classes, heavy load, working, a lot of stuff going on. Man, he was pretty overwhelmed and asking for prayer and just, you know, sent some text, rough day. And then one day last week, I was like, you know, kind of, how's the day going? He sends back, great day. And that's such a lesson in that all the work and the things are still there for all of us. But I'm going to tell you, when you hear the voice of God, and you start hearing that still small voice, and God starts doing stuff in your life, and you start hearing him clearer, then all of a sudden what you realize, it's kind of like he's going to take care of the other. And that's the voice you want to keep hearing and going forward. So that's the thing. We need a closer walk, and we need to hear his voice each step of the way. So when you start a downward slip, man, Satan wants to say, well, this is a bad day, bad week, bad circumstance. It ain't going to get better. Amen? I've been amazed. I've been feeling great one week, the next week feeling like giving up, right? And then and maybe 2 weeks later, things are better. God help remind. If you're in that downtime and you don't hearing from God and you don't know what to do and you're feeling down and depressed and upset and angry, whatever, just hold on. Just hold on, because God wants to speak to you. Let's look at the great thing that happened. Look with me. Let's just read in chapter 18, verse 36. Elijah's been in this kind of competition with the false prophets of Baal, and they've proved what their gods can do or can't do, if you would. In verse 36 of chapter 18, it says, it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things in thy word. Don't sound like the same person, does it, of chapter 19. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is God. Man, they have a revival. It's a great time. Man, God is on the throne and I'm his servant. Everything's wonderful. Been there? Amen. We've been there. Eh? Been there in division, man, as a church. What we got to do is we got to keep, listen, remember I said we've got, after great times, even after a good day, we got to keep our ears and keep our focus on what the Lord is saying, because look what happens here. Go back with me to chapter 19 we read. And I'll show you something that really jumped out in these verses 1 through 4. What we have here is there's this great attack of Satan on Elijah's life. Now, it appears, when you read it, it appears on the surface, as so often does to us, it appears that there's attack coming from Ahab and the queen Jezebel. But I always want you to remember something. I'll help you out. The attacks are coming from our enemy, who is Satan. And he will use anybody and everybody he can use. Jim, he's used you and I before, and he'd like to use us today and in the coming week. Amen. He's used you, Marty. He's used all of us. He's used you, Christian. So, but what did Elijah do? He got his eyes on Jezebel. He got his ears focused on what Jezebel was saying and not on what God was saying. The same God that spoke and moved in a mighty way in chapter 18 is still God on the throne. He's still in control. Nothing has changed. But the problem, what has changed, is Elijah's is hearing from the wrong person. Now that happens to every one of us on a daily basis. Amen? There's all these voices speaking to us. And I want to show you, I never quite noticed it in this passage of Scripture. But look what we have here. We have in verse 1, it starts out this way. And what happens in verse 1 is Ahab told Jezebel what had happened. So Ahab, the king, goes, tells his queen, Jezebel, that God of Elijah just defeated all the prophets and they've had them all killed and everybody's glorifying God. And so Ahab told Jezebel. Jezebel, in turn, goes and tells a messenger that to go tell Elijah that I'm going to kill you just like you killed all the prophets, which God's who did it. So look, Ahab told Jezebel. Jezebel told a messenger. The messenger went and told Elijah. Elijah told himself, if you would, what did he tell himself? He told himself in verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey. Now, what did he tell himself? No, look in verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. So, Ahab told Jezebel, oh, well, you all see what happened to what Elijah did. He's trouble. Jezebel says, that's no problem. She tells the messenger, go tell him I'm going to kill him. Messenger goes to Elijah, Jezebel, going to kill you. And then Elijah tells himself, time to run for my life. And then Elijah tells God in verse 4 that basically, I want you to just take my life away. Won't you kill me and I'll go into heaven. Now what's missing out there? In verse 18, he's glorifying God, all the attentions to God. He's heard from God. God's done a mighty thing. And all of a sudden, we've got this scenario of everybody's telling things, and then they're telling him things, and then he's telling himself things, and he's ready to die. And that's happening. That is Satan's plan, let me just go ahead and tell you, for every one of our lives. He wants you to not hear God's voice, and he doesn't care. Satan could care less whose voice you hear. We get so focused on, and listen, remind, it does no good if it's somebody that you're detached from out here that's telling somebody something about you or whatever. But oh, who does he use? He's going to use your friends. He's going to use your church folks. He's going to use your coworkers, and he's going to use your family. And all of a sudden, all you can hear, and it, but our technology has gone to the point that it's no problem. People don't even have to send messengers anymore. They can get the message directly to you. And then what I love most is when somebody doesn't, they don't tell you themselves, they don't send a messenger, they don't even write it down. They just are told, doing all the told, and finally when it gets to you, boy, it's really rough, isn't it? So look here, the same things are happening. So listen, it's so very simple. We need to focus and realize after these times with God that we have, that we see God move, we hear from God, we got to stay focused on what he says and not what everybody else says. In this case, what I showed you here in this passage is, when we read it, no one's listening to the Lord. Elijah's not, listen, Ahab didn't talk to God. Jezebel didn't talk to God. The messenger didn't talk to God. And Elijah's not talking to God. And all of a sudden, listen, that everything's going crazy and he wants to die. And what I'll say to you this morning is, if you want to be, you've got to be the one in that chain of tolls that talks to God. Talks to him and listen to what God says. Somebody's got to break that chain. Because it goes on and on. Everybody's telling. Everybody's talking. Everybody's saying these things. And you and I have to be the one that says, no, hold up. I need to go talk to God. Tell him what everybody else has told me and they're saying. And find out what God's still voice says about the situation. And 9 times out of 10, it may not literally say this, but God is going to tell you, them people are crazy. Don't worry about what them people are saying about you. Just worry about all the things that I have told you and all the things that if you'll stay in my word in prayer that I'm going to tell you to move forward the situation. I love Proverbs 28 and verse 9. If you'll notice, I say often the Proverbs of the day, and it happens to be, what, August 28th. So I'm reading devotionally this morning. And in Proverbs 28, verse 9, I'm studying this passage, getting ready for today. And look what, in Proverbs 28, 9, the Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. The Bible tells us in the book of wisdom, if we turn our ear away from hearing the word of God and talking to him in prayer, that even our prayer is going to turn into trouble. In Job 14:1, y'all should gather me. I say, praise God for Job, amen. Our Bible's not full of people that are just always praising God. Everything's wonderful and nothing goes wrong, amen. Thank God Job's in the Bible, but in Job 14:1, the Bible says, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So that'll help you. The Bible says, really, in the scope of eternity, we're only here a few days, and they're full of trouble. Amen? I can't believe I ain't got an amen. They're full of trouble. So the next time you look at the week or look at yourself and say, man, all this trouble, the Bible says, life will be full of trouble. And that's why we need to hear his voice. Amen? I didn't get very far, but Lord willing, let me just give you something to pray on and think about. We're going to, Lord willing, dive in next week a little deeper and look at this. We'll find here, as we go on in chapter 19, how God helps know how we can prepare to listen to his voice. Do you think you're prepared to listen? And then you find here, and we'll dig into it a little bit next Sunday, is that there's a very basic thing. What's the angel say do? Let's see, the angel said, go and read 5 chapters of the scrolls. You need to pray day and night for 3 days. You need to go and give all you've got. What did the angel say? Arise and eat. Get out of the bed. Get out of the chair. Get off the couch. Get up and get something to eat. Dale, I'll never forget when you were trying to help me to help somebody, and you were talking about that in life you got to get so low that the only hope is God. I'll never forget you told me that you had got to a low point in your life, you weren't eating. So you were emotionally and physically and everything was down. I'll never forget that. And look at this passage. Isn't that wonderful? God sends a message. You got to get up. And what's a cake of bread, really, and some water's there. Something very basic. And things begin to move. So we'll look at that in detail next week. And then we begin to listen. So let me just leave you with this. I'll say it again before we get an invitation. Really, no matter how rough your battle is right now, God's done some great things. Amen. Can we agree on that? God has done some great things in your life. God did some great things in revival. But we must be warned by Elijah's story that we've got to keep our attention on the voice of God. And the worst voice, the second worst voice apart from Satan's and he uses, is our own. Elijah took and ran with his own. When he got scared, he literally got to the point, Susie, where he said, that helps, you know. Elijah, great man of God, said, God, I want to die. It's real. It's real. And it's a still, small voice. Parents, preachers, good friends, yelling at them more, talking to them more. My mama helped me recently. I'm just desperate for somebody on my lost list to get saved. I'm really desperate for them all, but you know, Mark, you get one just desperate. She told me the other day, she said, you need to quit talking to him so much and start praying for him more to get saved. And you know what? Brother William, she's right. I began to think, since revival, all the people I haven't prayed for. I'll cut our president down and tell you all the junk and lies and stuff about him, and immediately, how many times have I prayed for him in 8 years? That still, small voice is speaking. Amen. Would you bow with me? What excites me is not what you might have heard from this message, but what excites me is how I see time and time again that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit has been speaking to all of us, including me during this. Messages from Elijah's life and from the Bible that I didn't even mention. He's made you think of situations. He's made you think of now, and you're just amazed. And I want to thank him now that he's still speaking. And maybe that still small voice has spoke to you this morning and said, you know, you lost without Jesus. You have no relationship. You don't know if you die today, whether you go to heaven or hell. You're not sure. You hope you'll go to heaven, but you don't know. And the still small voice is knocking on your heart's door saying, you just need to come and you just need to get saved. Give your heart to Jesus. Somebody else, he's saying, you know, I made some decisions in revival. I really haven't told anyone. Maybe you've already decided I'm going to be baptized, be part of the church. And maybe you just need to come this morning and let the church celebrate with you. Whatever the need is. But the most important need is probably that you need to come to an altar and get real quiet before God and see what else that still small voice might speak to you. And you might say, preacher, I ain't heard still small voice this morning. It's probably because I was too loud. But during this moment, maybe the very moment you get on your knees before him, that he'll speak to you. And God, that's our greatest need, to hear from you now, in every moment, in every situation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand?